Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Well, today's episode is brought to you by the financial support of our listeners. Thanks so much for your support. Now it's time for today's episode of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, as the Molly K. Matter continues with parts 3 and 4.
From Hollywood, it's time now for Bob Bailey as...
Johnny Dollar.
Guess who, Johnny?
Lou. Lou Tang.
When they told me you had called, my heart jumped and beat faster. It has been a long time.
Too long. Hey, look, I want to see you, Lou.
Where are you? They only gave me a phone number.
It's a waterfront bar, foot of Drum Street, sailors hangout.
Then I'll call a taxi.
No, wait there. I've got a drunk on my hands.
Well, get rid of him. Or of her.
Can't do it, honey. This is a valuable drunk. You wait. I'll get there as soon as I can. And look, will you do me a favor, Lou?
Anything you want, Johnny.
Well, there's a man named Benny Wong. I think he's been hiding out in Chinatown for the last 2 days. Can you find him for me?
So that is why you're here. The sinking of the Molly K.
That's right, Lou.
Too bad, Johnny. I'm sorry to hear that. Awfully sorry.
Tonight and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account. America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. From Special Investigator Johnny Dollar, location San Francisco, to the Home Office Marine and Maritime Casualty Limited, Hartford, Connecticut. Assignment, the Molly K. Matter. Expense account continued. Item 5, $11 even. Drinks. Consumed by one Josiah Hawkins, able-bodied seaman. Last berth, ship's carpenter on the freighter Molly K. And Hawkins was scared half to death. So the fear worked against the liquor, and the drinks weren't doing much good.
Who was you talking to on the phone?
A friend.
You say anything about me? About me being with you?
Nope. How about another drink, Mr. Hawkins?
I had enough. What's the name of your friend, Mr. Dollar?
Oh, you wouldn't know her. Just a girl I know here in town.
Oh, a girl.
Mr. Hawkins, did Bill Mack have a girl?
Yes, he got himself engaged to a girl. I know what you're aiming at, Mr. Dollar. You're trying to play on my sympathy.
He was your friend.
That he was. One of the best.
And now he's dead. Drowned in the Pacific when the Molly K went down. Whoever sank her is responsible for his death. You can help me if you would.
It wouldn't bring him back. And I gotta think of myself.
You're in more danger before you talk than you'd be afterwards. The whole idea is to keep you from talking.
Huh? Sure, there's sense in that, all right.
Somebody shot at you out there on the docks, tried to kill you. You'll never be safe as long as they're running loose. Well, Mr. Hawkins?
The Molly K was sunk deliberate. We're sure of that. All of us that was aboard her, things just wasn't right even before it happened.
What things?
Well, that fire, for one, 10 days ago, the first time we started out for Yokohama. Bill Mack was the one that discovered it.
Did Mack think the fire had been set?
That he did. He told the captain that. And you know what happened, Mr. Dollar?
What happened?
Captain Brawley knocked him down the bridge ladder. Told him to keep his mouth shut and not go around spreading wild rumors.
All right. The second time you sailed, what happened?
Well, as soon as we cleared the gate and headed out to sea, Bill and me was on watch. He had me cover for him while he sneaked down in the hole to see what he could find out. He still hadn't come back when it happened. I think you was right, Mr. Dollar, what you said at the hearing.
What do you mean?
We didn't hit no derelict. An explosion, that's what it was. In the bottom of the forward hold somewheres. I was on the bow deck right above it when it happened.
What about that Chinese steward? The one who got ashore and then disappeared. Did you notice anything special about him?
Benny Wong?
Yeah.
No. We was only a couple of hours out of port. I don't even remember seeing him. One thing, though, that seemed kind of funny at the time.
What was that?
The first mate done all the hiring for this trip, same as always, just one exception. Benny Wong was hired on by Captain Brawley himself.
Uh-huh.
And something else, Mr. Dollar, about Bill Mack being drowned. You was wrong about that.
Bill Mack is alive?
No, he was dead before the Molly Kay ever sunk.
What?
I went looking for him as soon as it happened, and I found him down on the lower boat deck, lying in a pool of blood. Somebody'd cut his throat. I'll have another drink now.
I sat there looking at him across the table, not saying anything. There was nothing I could say. Bill Mack had been his friend. I thought over what he just told me, tried to fit it in with what I already knew. It didn't add up to an answer yet, not quite, but it was close, and it was getting closer all the time.
Mr. Dollar, it's him.
Huh?
Captain Brawley, over there. He just come in.
Yeah, he's seen us, too.
He's coming over this way. I gotta get out of here.
Sit down, Mr. Hawkins. He won't start anything.
You don't know him. You don't know how he is when he gets mad.
No, but it looks like I'm gonna find out.
Well, Hawkins, seems like you're not very particular about the company you keep.
Neither am I, Captain. Pull up a chair.
What are you up to, Dollar? Offering him a bribe to testify against me?
Don't need to. There's enough against you already.
Yeah, there will be, more than likely, when you and them smart company lawyers get through. You insurance people are all alike. You're right there to collect when it's due you, but you squirm when it comes to paying off.
Well, now, that depends on the circumstances, Captain, and in this case, well, I wouldn't go spending that money yet if I were you.
That's what you've been telling them, huh?
When I've got anything to tell, I'll tell it to the courts.
Yeah, along with anybody else you can turn against me. Like my own daughter, for instance. She even sneaked around and tried to turn her against me. Not that that took much doing. And Dean Sutton, owner of the cargo. But there's a limit to what a man will take, Dollar. And I took enough already. Now you better quit pushing me. I'm warning you.
Are you? Well, take your warning and stick it where it'll do the most good. You've been trying to block every attempt I've made to get to the bottom of this thing. You've dragged your feet every step of the way deliberately.
Dollar, nobody talks to me like that.
Then it's time somebody did. I think you're in this thing right up to your big fat neck. And if you are, I'm going to pin it on you. Not just for swindling. If you are behind the sinking of the Molly Kay, I'm going to see to it that you stand trial for murder, too.
I warned you once.
Now, Mr. Dollar.
Oh, no. All right, Captain. Learn it the hard way.
Watch out, he's grabbing a bottle.
No. Come and get it, Dollar!
Sorry, the party's over right now. You better get out of here, Hawkins. He's not going to feel very friendly when he comes to.
You're the only man I ever seen stand up to him, Mr. Dollar.
There was one other one, Bill Mack. I left Captain Brawley lying there on the floor. They were throwing water on him when I walked out. I hadn't wanted the fight, but there'd been no choice. And it had given me one new fact to fit in. The captain's coat fell open when he hit the floor, and I saw he was packing a gun. Expense account, item 6, 80 cents. A taxi fare to Chinatown and a rendezvous with Lu Tang. Shanghai Lu. A strange woman, this one. Wise, shrewd, and alert. Hard and tough when she feels that way. Soft as a kitten when she feels that way. Her nationality, history, age, nothing certain about any of that. But there's one thing that is certain. She's the most beautiful woman I've ever known.
It is good to see you, Johnny. How long has it been?
Last year, Lou, in Paris. How could you forget?
I didn't forget. I only wanted to see if you had. Kiss me, Johnny.
I came here to talk business.
Oh, business. I don't feel like talking business.
Simmer down, baby.
Let's get married.
All right. First,
when?
Let's... Tomorrow. Now, if
you... Why not tonight?
It's too late. We'd have to wake somebody up.
Always problems, reasons. I don't think you even want to marry me.
Sure I do. I've been mad, too, for years.
Then why didn't you in Paris?
Oh, it's no time to go into that again. Look, I'm on a case, a rough one. And it's just possible that you may be mixed up in it.
Johnny, I did not sink the Molly case, so there you are. That takes care of the business. Let's get married.
Will you sit back down there? That does not take care of the business.
What more do you want to know?
Several things. Benny Wong, for instance.
That man you asked me about?
Yeah, they said he went down with the Molly Kay, but I found out different from one of the crew.
I have not found Benny yet, but I have people looking, so... Why don't you and I...
Lou, I've known you too long. You're not fooling me.
Fooling you?
The patter is good, but it's not covering the fact that you're bothered.
You've always bothered me, Johnny.
That's not it. How do you figure in this thing, Lou?
I don't really know what you mean by this thing, Johnny.
You had a pretty heavy stake in the Molly Kay. $100,000 mortgage loaned to Captain Brawley.
A sound business deal, that's all. I have investments in many ships that sail out of San Francisco.
Ah, and of course the investment was covered by insurance.
Naturally. I made sure of that before I advanced the loan. Don't let the soft brown eyes fool you, Johnny. I'm a hard-headed businesswoman.
Yeah, I know.
It was a business deal, nothing else. Showed every chance of being a profitable voyage. It was carrying a cargo of wheat. The Tokyo grain market has been advancing steadily for 3 months. As to what happened... I don't know anything about it. I don't understand it. That's straight, Johnny. That's all I know.
What about this fellow, Dean Sutton? Do you know him, Lou?
I've met him. I understand he's engaged to Captain Brawley's daughter. But beyond that... Pardon me a moment. I'll see who it is.
The visitor was a young Chinese lad. She stepped outside to talk to him, and I lit a cigarette and waited for her. I thought over what she'd said, tried to see behind it, and to decide whether to believe it or not. Lu Tang was not a person you could push. I stood up when she came back into the room.
You're not leaving, Johnny.
Yeah, I think I'd better.
Will you see me tomorrow?
You know I will.
What if I were mixed up in this? Would you send me to jail?
You know the answer.
Yes. And you're the only man I know who would.
I'd be gentle about it, though.
I think you really would. You're sweet, Johnny. Awfully sweet.
I'm a doll.
I've made up my mind to take no part in this, to stay completely out of it. But I'm going to tell you something.
What do you mean?
That man who just came through the door, I've had him out looking for Benny Wong.
Has he found him?
Not yet. But he's found out something about him. Johnny, if the Molly Kay was sunk on purpose, how do you think it was done?
By an explosion in the bottom of the fort hold.
Benny Wong was a demolition sergeant during World War II. He's rather well known as an expert on explosives.
Johnny Dollar.
Hi, Johnny. Dan McKay, Harbor Police.
Dan, I was planning to drop by and see you about the sinking of the Molly Kay, but I've been pretty busy since I got here.
Yeah, so I've heard. Johnny, you're under arrest.
What did I do, park in a red zone, walk in the grass?
I'm not kidding, I mean it.
Well, what's the charge?
Now, let's see, assault and battery, aggravated assault, assault with intent to do bodily injury.
Hold it, Dan, that's enough.
Don't you want to know who signed it?
I already know.
That's practically an admission of guilt, you know that.
But I've got witnesses.
So is he.
Huh?
I think you'd better come down and talk about it.
Or you'll send out the wagon, is that it?
I'm serious, Johnny.
All right, Dan, I'll be down. From Special Investigator Johnny Dollar, location San Francisco, to the Home Office Marine and Maritime Casualty Limited, Hartford, Connecticut. Assignment, the Molly Kay matter. Expense account continued. Item 7, A mere 60 cents. Taxi from my hotel to the foot of Market Street and headquarters of Inspector Dan McKay in charge of Harbor Police. I'd known Dan for years, well enough to realize that knowing him wouldn't make any difference. Not when he had a warrant to serve. I knew the charge wouldn't stick, of course, but it could slow me down. And I figured that was exactly why it had been filed.
You may be right, Johnny. Maybe Captain Brawley did file charges just for nuisance value. Keep you out of his way for a day or two.
That's exactly what he did.
Nevertheless, the charge was filed, and a warrant has been issued. So what are you going to do about it?
I know what I'd like to do about it.
Uh-uh. That's against the law, too. You know, you could be wrong, Johnny. Brawley may not be guilty of the Molly Kay sinking.
I told you the whole story, Dan. The facts add up. What do you think?
I think you've got an awful strong case, but it's still based on circumstantial evidence.
Well, what else is there to base it on? The rest of the evidence is out past the harbor there, out beyond the Golden Gate, a mile below the surface of the Pacific.
Yeah, I know. Most of the cases we handle here in the Harbor Division are like that.
Well, then you can see the problem I'm up against.
Yeah, I can see it all right. That's a big harbor out there, Johnny. Biggest natural harbor in the world. A lot of square miles of water. A lot of miles of shoreline.
And a lot of ways of covering up a crime.
As far as disposing of physical evidence, it's true. Body can be thrown into the bay, a weapon, so on. Sometimes we recover it, sometimes we don't. It's tough, Johnny.
Yeah, I imagine.
Real tough. Hey, that's the SS Maritonia, arriving from Ceylon, Java, the Philippines. She'll dock at Pier 14. The cargo is probably spices, mahogany, raw ore.
Nice-looking ship.
Beautiful. They drive me crazy, Johnny, watching them here from the window. I should have gone to sea. Oh, well. Anyway, since we don't have physical evidence in a lot of cases, we've learned to rely on other things.
Such as?
The human elements, Johnny. You've turned up a lot of facts, true. You've made a good deal more progress on this case than I have.
Than you have? What do you mean?
Tim O'Rourke sent me the report of the inquiry board. I've been working on the case ever since. Now, you got a pretty convincing bunch of facts. But I know Captain Brawley. By reputation, at least.
Look, Dan, I know what you're getting at. People who know Brawley think he's honest. O'Rourke said the same thing.
Right. Tough, hard, violent temper, a slave driver, but not a crook.
An honest man can get under pressure sometimes, get pushed beyond his depth. It happens every day.
Yeah, but Johnny, even then, he reacts according to his pattern. Here's what I'm getting at. That murder on board the Molly Kay just before she sank, you said Hawkins told you the man had been knifed. Now, I can see Brawley slugging somebody with fist, club, or bottle, or even shooting a man. But not a knife. Not in his nature. That's what I mean by human elements.
And you're right, Dan. I agree with you. I don't think it was Brawley who killed him. Here's the way I see it. Brawley was pressed for cash. The mortgage on his ship was due in 30 days. He was carrying that grain for Dean Sutton on a contingency basis. He might not make any money, or at least not enough. He was probably doing it as a favor to his daughter. She and Dean Sutton are engaged.
Yeah, I know, Charlie.
For the first time out, he tried setting that fire on board. It didn't work. One of the crew, Bill Mack, discovered it before it got started. The Molly Kay returned to port, and Brawley filed an insurance claim. Then he got scared off on an investigation and withdrew it.
That's all guesswork, Johnny.
So far, his second attempt, he contacted an expert on explosives, Benny Wong. And Benny pulled off the job for him, blew the bottom out of the ship and sank it.
And what about the knifing?
Well, Bill Mack was suspicious. He was prowling around the hold and caught Benny in the act of setting the explosive. Benny killed him, figuring the sinking would cover for him. But by accident, Hawkins stumbled onto the body before the ship went down.
Well, that adds up, Johnny. It's hard to argue with you. I just can't see a captain sinking his own ship.
It's been done before.
Yeah, I know.
Not everybody feels about them the way you do, Dan. And a $500,000 is a lot of money.
That's true. But 25 years of command means a lot, too. Deep sense of responsibility. Integrity. Oh, pardon me. Inspector McKay. Oh, yeah. Just a moment. It's for you, Johnny.
It was Lu Tang, Shanghai Lu. She'd called the hotel and found out where to reach me. For once, she didn't try to play games. She spoke briefly and straight to the point. And she told me what I wanted to know the most. When I hung up, I knew I was on the last lap. I had the case right in my hand.
Well, what's up, Johnny? What is it?
Dan, how would you like to come along and talk to the man who blew up the Molly K? Item 8, 80 cents, another taxi, a short run from the foot of Market to Fisherman's Wharf. Lu Tang's spies had told her Benny Wong was holed up in a back room of the Fa Song Fish Company out on the docks. And they said he was scared, armed, and dangerous.
There's the Fa Song layout, Johnny. Right there, the warehouse in the end.
Yeah. Well, let's go around the gangway. Lu Tang said the room is on the back corner.
Say, Johnny, why don't you wait here? Let me take him. This kind of thing is part of my job.
But he's my pigeon, Dan. I found him first. There's a door at the back. That must be it.
Yeah, only one it could be.
Besides, I'm under arrest. If you left me alone, I might escape.
Yeah, sure. You got a gun, Jim?
Yeah.
All right. Let's go.
We moved quietly up to the blank wooden door opening onto the gangway over the water. There were no windows in the back wall, so we were certain we weren't being watched from inside. We stopped at the door, and McKay reached for the knob and tried it gently.
It's unlocked.
Good.
You ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, what...
Hold it, police officers!
Drop that gun.
Drop it, fast!
This doesn't look much like Benny Wong, Johnny.
No, it doesn't.
Now, look here.
What do you do, Dean? Go around with a gun in your hand all the time?
You're making a mistake, Dollar. I don't know any more about this than you do.
Any more about what? What are you doing here,
Never
Dean?
Never mind, Johnny. Here's what he means.
Huh? Oh. Well. So we don't talk to Benny.
Shot 3 times.
Yeah.
Any one of the bullets would have done the job.
You weren't taking any chances, were you, Dean?
I didn't shoot him. I just got here.
How did you know where he was hiding?
I didn't. I didn't know anything about him. I got a phone call. Somebody said to meet them here. Said they'd give me the lowdown on the sinking of the Molly K.
What somebody? Who was it?
I don't know.
Man or woman?
Man, I think. Voice was muffled, so I came here to meet them.
And we find you standing over a dead man with a gun in your hand.
I found him like that. I figured it was a trap. I don't know anything about it.
Oh, no, of course you don't. You're just a babe in the woods.
Hold it, Johnny. Barking up a wrong tree.
What do you mean?
This man's been dead for several hours. Since early morning, I'd say. And he was shot with a .45. This gun of Sutton's is a .32.
So that's that.
Johnny, what was the caliber of the gun you saw Captain Brawley wearing?
A .45, Dan.
I'll put out a bulletin and we'll pick him up.
Wind up. The bets were all in. There was nothing more ahead but the showdown. Dan tore up the warrant on me, of course, and I went back to my hotel room to wait it out. That seemed the safest place to be. Brawley would be desperate now, half out of his mind. And of all the people he hated most, I was number one. So I lay back on my bed and waited. I reached my gun from the lamp table, moved quietly over to the door, and took hold of the key. Who is it?
Let me in, Johnny.
Ellen. Just a second. Come on in.
Has he been here, Johnny?
Has who been here?
My father.
The last time I saw the captain, he was lying unconscious on a barroom floor. I just put him there. That was last night.
Yes, I know.
Well, what made you think he'd be here?
I don't know. Guess I thought... I don't know what I thought.
Oh, easy now, honey.
I'm scared, Johnny. Hold me, please. I'm so lonely and scared.
It's all right, Ellen. Easy now.
He came home last night after he fought with you. He was furious. Then he left again, and I haven't seen him since.
Does he have his gun with him?
I guess so. I don't know. I don't know anything. Help me, Johnny, won't you?
Of course I will.
Hold me tight. Kiss me.
Ellen,
last
honey,
night
look.
When you kissed me, I wasn't scared then. I was lonely.
Look, honey, would
Hold
you...
Hold me, Johnny.
Wait a second. J. Johnny Dollar.
Dan McKay, Johnny.
Yeah, Dan.
We picked up Rawley on the waterfront a half an hour ago. Thought you'd want to know.
What's he say?
Denies everything. Says he was home asleep all night. Says his daughter will back him up.
Uh-uh. I happen to know different on that.
Yeah, I figured he was lying. We'd already been out to his house, found his gun. It's been fired 3 times, Johnny, and the bullets match.
When Ellen Brawley left my room a while later, I still hadn't told her about her father's arrest. I didn't have the heart. She'd tried her best to protect him, cover for him. She'd have done anything to save him. And yet, the irony was that every move she'd made helped tighten the case against him. The scent of her perfume still hung in the air after she'd gone. It was a strange scent, subtle, disturbing. I began to feel uncomfortable, on edge. There was something familiar about that scent. And finally I tagged it. I'd noticed that same perfume in the room on the wharf, where Benny Wong lay murdered.
Now, here's our star, Bob Bailey, to tell you about tomorrow's episode of this story.
Thanks. Tomorrow night, a deadly rendezvous on the fog-shrouded waterfront, and an explosion that rocked the city. The payoff. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, is transcribed in Hollywood. Written by Les Crutchfield, the entire production is under the direction of Jack Johnstone. Be sure to join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Roy Rowan speaking.
Welcome back. Well, a great twist heading into Friday's finale. And I know you'll definitely want to be listening for that. A lot of action, a lot of stuff happening. It's incredible how much they are able to really just expand on these plots. So it's very nicely done. We do turn now to listener comments and feedback. Christine emails, I was a little sad to see Let George Do It go last week and realize that it was because in more than 2 years since I've been listening to your podcast, George and Brooksy have become a part of my life, George more so than Brooksy. So I was really too happy to hear George come back as Johnny Dollar. I didn't realize how much I missed Bob Bailey's voice, yes, for just 1 week until I heard him as Johnny this week. So happy he's still making his rounds on the podcast. And when the Adventures of Frank Race just started, I found it a bit irritating because the sound was so muffled on several of the episodes that it just became background noise to me and I stopped actively listening to it. However, since the sound has improved, I've really gotten into Race and Mark and enjoy hearing their adventures now. I don't think you realize how much a part of your regular listeners' lives you and your podcast are, Adam. I can't speak for others, but I can say that you bring me pure, unadulterated listening pleasure, not just in programs themselves, but in your really great commentary. You always have something interesting to share. Finally, a thought on future podcasts. I really like the mysteries that you have brought us. The extent of my old-time radio knowledge comes from you, so I don't even know if these exist. Would you consider doing a similar podcast with old-time radio medical mysteries like Detective Doctors? Are there even such programs? Rocking for years to come. Well, thanks so much, Christine. Well, if you mean crime-solving doctors, they were surprisingly rare. I know the type of show, I think I do anyway, the type of show you're thinking about, if you're thinking about something like Quincy. There wasn't a radio, version of Quincy. There was a show, and we're going to play some episodes of it for you in the next few weeks on Fridays, called Dr. Tim Detective. It's got a bit more of a juvenile focus in some ways, and I actually found it pretty entertaining. But that's been about it. There was a show called Colin Doyle Crime Doctor. Medicine and actually being a doctor didn't really fall into that. The diagnosis murder type program, diagnosis murder and Quincy type programs didn't really make it in radio, but I appreciate your kind words and thank you so much for listening. And we will actually be back on Friday with yours truly, Johnny Dollar, the final part of the Molly Kay matter, following our first encounter with the Carter Brown mysteries. And join us back here tomorrow for Sherlock Holmes. In the meanwhile, send your comments to Box 13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and leave us a voicemail, 208-991-4783. But from Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.